you can join. That's a simple one. You know, I know we have talked with Morgan several times. You know, you have very good one. You know, starting from OpenStack installation, which we don't run at all because we don't have environment for now. That's a difference. I guess a major difference, right? So you have your own report. We have our own reporting. That's another difference. So I really like to run your stuff. But right now we don't have environment in the OpenLab. So what I heard today is we are, you know, the WinLab who's supporting us, they're gonna give us the environment access to the OpenStack after Mobile World Congress. I don't know the exact time, but they're gonna set up access to that OpenStack. So if we have that, we can definitely run your script to start, you know. So to me, it's always welcome new contribution.
What do you mean ONAP doesn't have an OpenStack environment?
We have an OpenStack environment, but we cannot install the OpenStack. Basically,
oh, because it's not part of ONAP.
It's a hosted kind of environment for us.
We don't have admin.
We cannot install the OpenStack from scratch. So the most part of your script, probably, you know, that major difference we cannot do. We cannot run in our environment.
And I think there's some confusion. I think we're in line with John. As soon as we have some remote access, we'll be able to contribute directly to integration project to help them to put that in place. Coming from a cross-test project to validate the infrastructure before. So I think it's just a question for them to get the right. So that will be fixed very easily once the credential will be okay. So that's not a problem. When you say what? If we can reuse OpenVCI in ONAP, I think during the different discussion we have this week, there is confusion between cross testing, OpenVCI CD, and what we are doing in Orange, and we are using GitLab CI, which is totally out of OpenVCI. Okay. And the chain CI system that we are using to change a different GitLab CI chain, which is also totally done in Orange, it's published in GitLab, so it's public, but it's not part of OpenAV today. We reuse the lesson learned in OpenAV from CI/CD perspective, but we did something specifically on GitLab. We are not reusing any of the Jenkins script. The difference between also Funcast and cross-testing, I think, is not clear for most of you. So cross-testing is a framework to launch any kind of test. So it can launch infrastructure tests, it can launch VNF tests on an app, it can launch GNU Linux tests, it can launch any kind of test you want. It's just a way to unify the way to launch any test and collect the results.
And cross test is what created?
Yeah, that's Silly created it.
Okay.
And Funcast is inherited cross testing for the infrastructure.
Yeah.
And also you can mention what you did running a CI/CD to embed that in order to allow any people to create its own CI/CD change based on this way to launch the test. And that could be reused, but it's also, so cross-testing is hosted in OpenAV.
So can we just stay on that track? So on the cross-testing side, the question is, can the ONAP side use the tools that Orange created?
So I think that's also possible. We already show some demo. So we, for example, if you look at the ONAP and check today, you run them running the robot framework working fine. What we did in Orange, we use them as such, so we didn't change one line. We are using the upstream L check, but we embedded the running of the robot within cross testing. We say why adding an additional layer? The additional layer allows us to run it in an Alpine Docker in CI/CD, totally independently from the existing ONAP you deploy. The robot framework Docker, I don't know, it's 1 gigabyte. And we are doing exactly the same with a 50 megabyte Docker to run the L check. But we don't change the code of the test. We just are changing the way we are running the test and the way we are collecting the results. So Gary, in integration, also made now a change in order to collect the results in order to feed the Kibana stuff. Okay. Here, what we are doing in cross-testing is we didn't create something for one project. We are using exactly the same thing for the infrastructure for ONAP. So that's something we can reuse. I mean, 1 year ago, on OpenAV testing website, I already created the API and the database for ONAP, and I was able to restore all the results from the Orange OpenLab, ONAP OpenLab, to this thing. So that's something we can reuse if we want. We can redo a demo. It just provides additional result tests from the check. And we added also VNF end-to-end tests, and that's something so we can show. We can just use during Dublin, and if it makes sense, if you think it adds value compared to what already exists, I mean, all the robot files for the GPIO, there will be lots of work done by the integration team on that. If you think there is a valid value because there are additional tests, then we could imagine to reuse that. I think it's also not a big deal. Something we are ready to contribute. Project without any problem, just a question of priority to see if it gives some added value, because we don't want to redo things that it's already done.
Right.
So we can test on our side is a way to reuse directly the robot framework, VFirewall or any of the full end-to-end robot testing on app. If we can trigger them directly using cross-testing, I will that could be also interesting. Then we would be also consistent in the way to run this.
Okay.
So my question: have you seen? Are you intimately familiar with what this cross tech?
No, not much. But I think what I agree with Morgan is you treat ONAP as an upstream project, right? Our upstream project has its own CI, and you as kind of a overall, you know, from test infrastructure up to all those applications, you have your stuff. You invoke the upstream CI and report it together as an
integration.
Right? Yeah, that's a grander you know, integration, right? So I think that proposition is very good, though.
But the question is, wait, I'm sorry. The question is, I'm sorry. I thought I heard, I'm like the weakest on this stuff. I thought I heard he's proposing for us to use some of their tools. And
he will invoke, it's just like, you know, you have others.
I mean, wait, wasn't that also? Some of the suggestions, or really just you want to just do integration of integration?
No.
I thought you were offering some tools that would help us.
Offering both.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I know that they are very busy with all the, so I don't want to interfere and to disturb also the way they are working today, because there are already some tooling and some habits to do that. But we can try to provide additional
tests
that are not provided today.
Right.
And we can add the offer. It will be another way, and it will not convert for Dublin immediately. I think it can live separately and see if we can convert after. If people think there is an interest to have a unified way to launch things, I think it would make sense.
Yeah. So I was going to say, from a CVC point of view, and you know, from the CARA, because we've also had a discussion, is you have all these pieces, and I mean, as a CARA, you got to do all this stuff, and no one's doing that.
That's not the case. I mean, all the upstream project has their own CI, maybe primitive. You get append to it or you know, extend on that. But usually they have their own test cases, right? So you don't throw that their test case and you know, create your own. Instead you call those and then maybe extend after that. Maybe from an end-to-end point of view.
Yeah.
So you don't replace whatever they have.
Yeah, I understand that. But this comment of integration of the integration, in the end, is what the carers need to do.
Right.
Yeah.
No one's doing that. If you're doing it internally, right?
That's a chain CI path. Today, if you go to OpenAV, you can find some projects that will do the integration by CD, and they have their own way to do that. Sometimes they reuse some GG jobs from other projects, but they have a way to do that. If you go to ODL, you have another team, and another way to do it. If you go to ONAP, you have your own integration. Even in ONAP, you have the CSIT, you have an integration team, you have AMDOF as its own chain. So you have different. And if you want to do something from a unified point of view, because as a service provider, our goal is to have service at the end that are working.
Yeah.
It's not saying, hey, yeah, we deploy OpenStack. Okay, that's the full team. There we deploy. No, we want to have something that is up and running and service for the customer. And what we did is we have only one CI chain that is doing everything. We don't want to have as many chains as project in LFM. And it was very hard for us. And it's very hard also to join these teams, because sometimes in OpenAV you have a dedicated project, so that was managed by the committer. No, that's more mainly Trevor than is dealing with that. In ONAP, you have not the equivalent of freedom. You have, of course, also Linux Foundation providing things for CFIT, but then it's integration or Amdocs or us doing something else. So it's absolutely not the same way to manage a CI/CD chain. And if we do that, then at the end, it's hard to have something smooth to be able to run, okay, I want a full service, but I need to start from scratch, from bare metal, and to install either Kubernetes or an OpenStack or whatever. So that's what we do. We did it in Chain CI, which is public, by the way. It's not us, neither in OpenAI nor in ONAP, because it's something
transversal
to both projects. We are okay to put them under the LFN umbrella. GitLab is very comfortable for us, because we are leveraging lots of things from GitLab. But so that's something different. You know,
yeah, I know.
But there are lots of confusion. Both of integration.
I would like to precise that why we have got the to deploy automatically any CI/CD tool chain code. Simply because we can't really, the end user can't install the real engine script provided by OpenAI. Require and first an OpenAI installer and then you verify it. That's not what an end user from a front desk on cost testing point of view asks. It's just we Orange and other end user will want just to create a full CI/CD tool for an OpenStack already installed or on top of ONAP. We don't want to first install an OpenAI installer. So we have developed the capability to deploy CI/CD tool from cost testing point of view because we want the user and the end user where you can install its own CI/CD tool easily with all the stuff already loaded for a simple use. And ONAP, in case of cost testing, is a normal user. So ONAP can reuse that automatically and it is the smooth integration of all the projects together. But so it's about using the components deployed in OpenAI, such as Jenkins, the API, MongoDB, all the components they use in the located in the CI/CD tool chain, OpenAI CI/CD tool chain. But we focus on the end user.
Yeah,
so
no,
we don't use the CI/CD tool chain, but we are using tools.
No, I get it. I mean,
able to use some of the jobs and stuff that don't have dependencies on the installers, or are there so many dependencies that you kind of you've replicated kind of the Jenkins recipe?
So
quite similar. The only difference is the first need is the test itself. In case of OpenAI, there are lots of parameters regarding the installers.
Right.
In case of functions, they are all. Or in case of processing, they are irrelevant.
Right.
So that's the main difference. It's the same. That's the same components, the same, I would say, tools we use, but we only focus on the test. On the test, then the reuse is really so it's easy to reuse, sorry, because it's just about testing an infrastructure, testing something.
Right.
And also, it's quite close to OpenAI, but it's not
exact
challenge. The script provided by Helenge.
Right.
But it promotes.
Does XCI help at all? But that's going all the way to master, so that's not what you want to do.
It's the kind of, how we can smoothly integrate
everything.
All the open.
Yeah.
That's the current issue of the LFN umbrella, because each think about is testing. Here, a common way.
Right.
SKS all together, and that's what cross testing is provided. That's what we are providing in cross testing, which is all just about we can list all SKSs from ONAP from cross testing in one YAML file, and then the full CI/CD tool chain is deployed for that. So if you want Yartik, test case coming from Yartik or Funtest or whatever, or ONAP, you can simply list them in one file. And then user run two commands, and at the end, where the full CI/CD tool chain is deployed.
Yeah,
that's a smooth integration.
So the issue is at a LFN level. It's not at a individual level. And I guess the proposal is if everybody has some common set of tools, it's easier to do this over the end. Is what I'm hearing.
In my case, it's also reused. out of the on the domain of infrastructure. It's also about testing anything network end-to-end network services networks as well. And you can verify all the steps, the infrastructure, the orchestrator, but even the end-to-end network services in the same way. So that's another added value about the reuse. It can be reused, and I'm using for testing network access services, exactly the same tool.
Yeah.
And as Young mentioned, in this case, ONAP is seen as an upstream project.
Right.
From our own integration. Right. That we could imagine to other upstream projects from Ericsson. For example, we are on the same baseline, we are deploying Acumos, for example. So some of our colleagues, they are also playing with Acumos. And as a service provider, our management says, okay, we will not build a data center for each LFM project. So we need only one team to manage the CI/CD. At least we need one team to do LFM.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what we do, and that's why we have this change CI in order to, when people from Acumos say, we want an Acumos up and running, so we say in our chain, we install OpenStack. On OpenStack, then we have two new chains. One is installing Acumos, the other is installing Kubernetes.
Yeah.
In order to install ONAP after that. So we can mix and match a different chain, and we can play with all the LFM projects we have. Because otherwise, it means that we have to have silos of people and team on hardware, on resources, and we are not so rich, you know.
But let me ask this question. You're using... you're doing this because you're a resource for all your R&D, sometimes, which is different from when you go to production.
Yeah.
And so do you see, not to say you're there, let's say you're going to use all this wonderful stuff, using the same tool chain, the same...
So at the moment, we are educating some of our operational team for that. So it's new, but you know, DevOps is really this kind of thing.
Yeah, I know.
So they'll be afraid for them, so that our change CI on the integrator or master.
It's like going, okay, yeah.
And that's true that we, for example, the change CI today, as it's published in GitLab, we're able to deploy an app on four different environments, including two public clouds. So it's something that could be used to simplify the environment also from production. So that's kind of things we
would have.
One thing that I learned about yesterday when you were talking, and I'd just like you to explain again here if you don't mind, was your ability to layer the componentry that's necessary so that you could isolate faults more easily, right? This is a big chunk of code. It's very complex. When you're trying to test a VNF, you got all kinds of things that can fail underneath you. You don't know where it is. I like that because I hear problems inside of the ONAP community about just having difficulty in pairwise testing in CSIT testing, where that's a problem, having a stable environment on which to test. Can you talk a little bit about that? How ONAP might be able to look at that.
Okay, so that's what we discussed with John. For the moment, what I discovered, I was not aware of that, is that the integration team was not master on board of this process. So they were using resources providing on Wind River, for example, but they were not able to do the, that was fully managed by the cloud provider, not by the integration team. So when they will get some, they will be granted to do that. What we can imagine to do is reuse, regularly run infrastructure tests on OpenStack, on the Kubernetes install on top of OpenStack, in order to say, okay, the infrastructure has no problem. So if we have problem, we can estimate that at 95%, the problem will be not as bad. So it eliminates already lots of things. Because today, and that's why we create also that, but because when we were testing on that, it was not working. L-checks were okay. And sometimes it was in an app, sometimes because networking stuff or self storage, we have lots of problems with self. Because in ONAP, we decided to use a lot of Cassandra database, and Cassandra sets are not the best trained of the world, no? So these kind of things we discover by using the system. So the idea was to be able, at each installation step, to do that, and to be able also to re-trigger the test at any time if we have some data. So that's the idea behind. And we can imagine as soon as the integration team will have the right to have the admin rights on their cloud, to be able to run regularly this kind of test. And then we are really leveraging all the work going by Cedric in the database.
Yep.
In some tests, we can imagine to leverage other projects to have other already with front test on top of cross testing is about looking at 5 hours of open stack testing, including 4 VNF deployments with 4 different orchestrators which are not on it. So that's a way to say, okay, if I'm going to deploy a virtual IMS using Codify, a virtual open air interface using Juju, a virtual router or another IMS using it, you can say if you have some problem with your own deployment in ONAS, then it's probably honest. So that's the idea. But is that, yeah, there are only 5 hours of testing. Since last version, it's possible to parallelize because it's 5 hours of intense testing, but we are testing for a tempest in parallel with different flow. So it means that the testing and the work done in OpenAV is telco ready production because it's cleaning the resource. We can, we were speaking about Cloud Monkeys here one year ago when you said, okay, we can do things on that to try.
Talk about what?
Okay.
Chaos Monkeys.
Yeah, it's Chaos Monkeys.
Chaos, sorry. I got it.
So that's part of OpenAV heritage, you know, and the work done in OpenAV for the testing part. So the CI/CD is a bit different. It's a mix of the lesson learned during our involvement, even all the chaining I mentioned. It's also coming indirectly from OpenAV because it was defined in cross-CI. I mean, the concept of IDF and PDF and all these files were defined in cross-CI. But cross-CI project really focused on virtual deployment. And as service provider, I would say we don't care of virtual deployment. We want something that is physical, bare metal, and corresponds to our needs. So we initially worked in cross-CI project to do that. So for different reasons, it was not possible to merge this patch to the mainstream. So that's why we move it to GitLab.com. And today we are really saying bare metal CI, and we can select. So if you want Kubernetes on bare metal or Kubernetes on OpenStack, just define your YAML file, the chaining of the chain you want.
So I just want to ask more fundamental questions. So what usually happens is you have POC, and so you do your, you know, whatever you're planning and building for that. Then you decide, okay, you're going to make this real, so then you have a test environment because you now got to pull in all this stuff that's going to go into production. So then you do your whole CI/CD for that. And then whenever, once that gets certified, then of course you install those releases in production. So you're using this in your POC environment, I think, because you're supporting all these different people trying stuff. And so my question was, you know, I'm guessing there's certain pieces that you've decided to really put in production, and you're also using the same set of tools to create your system test environment to shake out everything before it goes to the field. That's what I just want to.
Yeah,
or is it really just R&D?
What? From the pen test point of view, pen test is already designed to verify any production of a human. So what I showed during your pen test on steroids is now we have added the isolation and the parallel processing required to verify the production. So now the pen test is able to verify any open stack. When I say
Cedric is discussing with production team in Orange to reuse the test.
Yeah, and I try to convince about using front test on production because we know now front test has the capability to do so, and now that's what we are promoting.
For CI/CD chain,
it's a bit early. You know, when we come and discuss with the operation team, they say, we have a team, we are spending weeks deploying all this stuff, and then you just take the time to do that.
I wanted to say that for OpenStack, we are not using the CI/CD chain for Kubernetes on OpenStack or Kubernetes on Veritas. There are discussions to see if we will use it or not for production.
It's not there yet.
It's not done. It may not be done. It will probably not be done. But as they are released, there are
OpenStack are already procedure in place. So we are discussing also with them, but they have already their own way to do that. They are already the team, so the team. So we already show that they're interested in that. But the training of CI, I consider that just to be back. And also agreement that has the work. So here, the most obvious thing is the reuse of the tooling to validate the infrastructure. I mean, all the CIs, too early for Kubernetes, starting at the operation level, then the discussion are ongoing, and it will make probably more sense. But probably coming down, but regarding our own organization, this will not happen for OpenStack. Maybe OpenStack will not be, no, I don't say that's a problem.
Technically speaking, we can with any CIC to send the across to verify the prediction.
Yeah.
We're working
that's why we're really focusing on our involvement in testing. Because for us, we knew that the deployment methodology, which is relatively new, it's out because the operational teams are not used to that,
yeah,
and are a bit afraid of that. And there are also some regulation aspects that are hard to deal with. But of course, what they were doing before with a collection of script and manual operation, then thanks to cross-test, all the results in a consistent way. And when, if we come with ONAP, we can say, okay, we can come with the same way, so we unify the stress testing. But yeah, only for the moment, the discussion for testing production, we are not putting all our system. It's more community work. And that's why also that's part of the community lab, the open lab, we are offering to the community. And when people are just test ONAP, send us mail with a public SSH key and you have an access to a full on
that. Oh, and he just doesn't mute me. No, he just left.
No, he just muted me.
But regarding integration team, I think it's pretty clear what we can do. So
yeah,
not immediately, but immediately we can
just left.
See with the additional test case and see if we can provide added value. And see also if we can cross-testingize the existing robot test. So that's two activities that I can take to the point. And when you will have access to the admin rights, then we can additionally add some information on some test on the infrastructure.
So, yeah, we like the user platform to test the different like OpenStack versions and also the Kubernetes versions. Because right now, what you ONAP delivers is not a kind of installer. Instead, it's the ONAP components, right? And on top of that, the chart to see you run that with your own version of Helm, you know, Ventures, those things. So those things we can only make one recommendation, that which we test with. But from your point of view, you can have different range of combinations, right?
Yeah.
That's the value add from
I know. So that's why I was asking if we're at least all on the same, you know, set of tools, and it makes it easier to understand. What I was, you know, Phil, and it's another end user thing. You know, this is an excellent discussion, and I can appreciate. And the reason I want to know React production is a bigger, you know, sell that everyone goes, oh, great, I want this, versus you're getting there. That's fine. This is an excellent discussion because you've got carriers that are just coming in there and they see all this stuff. They try to get speed, and then they're like going to say, how do you install this stuff? And yeah, everybody has their own. And it's it's all one thing, which is what started, right? Okay, and if even this one thing, but now it's like, Acumos, ONAP, and it goes on and on. And so people can't figure out how to, I mean, there's one thing, the slideware, but it's, again, you have to do something. And then that's where everyone struggles, and it just is a mess, right? Unless you have thousands of people, which people don't have.
Given this automation, ONAP, something that I think it's useful for service provider, at least for us.
Yes.
It's to be able to automate the deployment of customized ONAP, depending on what you need.
Well, even vendors should be able to use this if they get their act.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can provide an on-demand ONAP and reduce the scope, because sometimes people just want to test their module, so it's not necessary to deploy all the policy engine and DCAE if they just want to test basic things. So today we have colleagues from PC that are asking for 1 week ONAP with only 4 or 5 components.
And also there are need also for pairwise testing to be able to start an ONAP with only the 3-4 modules that you want to pairwise.
Yeah, I know.
So we did this week with
I mean, I actually, somehow we either need a WebEx or we need
WebEx.
Well, I mean, a class, and they're usually WebEx classes.
A webinar, you mean?
Webinar.
I mean, at least it gets recorded. But I just actually think, you know, as we have these, you know, not that I'm going to volunteer running around the world, but you know, as you have these conferences,
the problem is, it would make sense for us to try to write something down as a
and do a webinar
to try to say, okay, what we did. It's not a perfect solution. We know there are lots of problems, on the, but probably it would be helpful to understand. And as I say, the change CI is. It's public today. If you are public cloud, we can help any service provider to help them.
Yeah, but they don't know. So maybe it's more writing and a webinar and it's taped. You stick it on the LF or whatever.
And you title it.
I don't know. End-to-end, you know, integration of.
Yeah, I've been talking to Morgan because we're putting our content plan in place for 2019. And I've talked to Morgan about doing a case study with this. Webinars have just gotten a little bit more difficult, but that's a different story. But we can do a Zoom and record it and invite people to it. That's not that hard.
Yeah, we already did some webinars during the Webinar Academy
to be able to truly do a knowledge transfer.
Yeah.
How long do you think it would take?
It's not just the knowledge, it's just more even the marketing of it for people to be aware that, oh my gosh, I could use it.
Well,
the thing is, when we discuss with the provider, it depends if they have already a team that is organized to work with open sourcing. If they are, it's pretty straightforward because it's done in an open source way, even if it's not hosted in an explanation, it's in GitLab. And if people are coming with lab, just a lab owner, and they're used to more integrate existing things, then we need to do more documentation. It cannot be so straightforward. So I don't know.
I have a discussion with our Polish guys that want to reuse GenCI for their own purpose. So internally inside the range, we have done that for a lot of people inside the range. Honestly, it's not that easy. It's a matter of involvement of the person in front of their technical skills. If you, I think it's between 2 days and 2 weeks to a month. But just to be user, to re-understand.
Do I hear 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months?
Depends on the skills.
Depends on the skills,
okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Gilda is 2 days.
For us to market for 2 years?
No. Oh, yeah.
Never. I don't remember anything. I barely remember.
You're up here, I know.
There's certain ways I think we can present some of this, but obviously to get dig down into details, I mean, yeah, it's hard to do in any sort of like white paper or hour long presentation.
Yeah.
But we could start there.
And typically, so this time the Plugfest was more, you know, sessions, not so lacking.
Yeah.
But we could imagine to have an event with service provider when we have only tutorial dedicated on that. And at the end of the week, the goal will have to have some change running on the premises, on the lab, or on public cloud, so if we can prepare in advance to see if they want to do that on existing public cloud rather than, so we can imagine to organize this kind of things as hacking service provider hacking things, and people have to bring their labs, but then management has to say, okay, technical guys do, not only
I mean, that's something we could organize some future event, or maybe even ONS.
No,
I get the people.
I think we would be.
I mean, this is a lot of okay, so going back to the purpose of this thing was, so you're gonna evaluate these and see if it's worthwhile or.
It's worthwhile. We know that.
No, I meant actually
moving to this set of tools off of ours, which is different from the.
I'm part of the integration project. So as we mentioned, ours is upstream. We test only one scenario. They are going to expand to different dimensions. Right. So we don't change each other. They just use ours as upstream project.
Yeah, but I also heard that you could also just migrate to their tool. that? And is it worth it? And if everyone's on the same, it gets even easier to do end-to-end
I think our interface is simple. We run Jenkins, right? They just take ours as a kind of input. Then they expand on that.
For the cross-testing, I think it would make sense to consider moving the robot testing embedded in cross-testing. I can try to do that. I mean, I can contribute also. I'm not just a consumer of integration. I can try to do that. Okay. As I did for L-Check.
What version?
L-Check test, I already show that to Marlowe to well, I can we put in place a full the portal, the CRM, the test API, and the way to run L-Check in another way, just by spawning the Docker. And then try to also include the other. That's something I can. But as part of your project, I can try to prototype that.
Because I have documents over here that I want
to. Would it be helpful for pairwise testing to be able to do the deployment of the different models?
Okay, so, okay.
For pairwise testing, Sylvain has already discussed with Mike, so it's not really ready to own at the moment. For NBI or so, we plan to.
So, what we will try as a first step is to see any guide review from whom. To spawn Fillonap this garage review of whom and verify with Morgan test that we have a lot of false positive saying that for example the whom garage review is good but it's actually because I don't know AI latest deployment for happens. So but at the very least that we will be able to verify that all the pods are trying to start and stuff like that. It's something we will try to do that for NBI, as NBI is mainly done by people from Orange, and they have this need also. We will work with them to see if it's possible for any direct review of NBI to spawn NBI plus AI plus SO plus DMA, because I think pretty much it's a kind of simple, you see, and verify. Pairwise, kind of pair, automated pairwise testing for MBI with the other stuff.
For Dublin, the goal is to prototype that and do it on the MBI.
Okay.
And if it's okay, that's something we could probably generalize to help.
After, the other issue is also the need for if we have to put an OM or an ONAP for every pairwise testing, that's very good, but that's already consuming a lot of. So we can host some tests, but we won't be able to host the full all tests from all projects, to be clear. That's why I don't want to spend too much.
Sure.
we can, there are the other base there, we can spawn on apps. But there will need also a lot of engagement from the different projects, because today, integration tests are not very good because most of them are just checking a little L-check in some place and that's it. So if we want to do a real CI/CD stuff, we also need real tests.
We'll get back to the tests. I said until we get a clear priority list, we're all over the place.
And it should decrease the pressure on integration teams that are trying to integrate Docker at the last minute, which are simply not working. Yeah. So that's not their fault, but they just made the test, it's not working, and they have to figure out. If we have a real CI/CD with this kind of thing, I think that's a goal. But for we have to demonstrate further,
so we have to verify how we can do that.
Close to open track. Philosophy to the test with real
project that we later.
So if we were to migrate that, what kind of additional underlying infrastructure hardware? I'm planning my 2020 budget.
Yeah.
What do I need to think
about? Never ask that to me.
Headcount.
I think that today, as far as I understand, the Wind River Lab is full.
It's pretty packed.
So
we could provide resources an hour back.
Yeah. So I think that you will need to multiply that at least two. That's what we have today. And thanks to the work we are also on the reduction, also on the footprint of an app, on the images side, but also on the memory consumption.
I have a lot of
things. It's also a way to make it better use. A lot of tests. Very useful, means a lot of download.
In the resource is critical.
No, all these factors have to be as fast as possible, so that means that we need to reduce also the images that are today done by
the
owner. Because that's also part of the issue. Huh? If your test is doing two hours because you are doing 1 hour downloading some images in 10 minutes, it's a huge win. So there's a lot of small improvements everywhere that should also help to reduce the footprint of the need for the test, and it's a win-win situation because also we reduce the footprint of an app, and so that means that the user are more keen to use it instead of saying that I need a full data center just to deploy an app today.
Well, and one thing I think we sort of talked about during. Sorry. You can go first, Cedric, but then
it's not only about. I think resources is also about. Will be good for the test framework itself because Functest Kubernetes require other resources as well. Simply because we have to we need a strong process in the test tool as well. So see, if we can get resources in OpenAV for the test framework, it would be great because Functest already has this. This kind of tool chain about checking all the user batches. Checking, we are always stable, but to do so, we need other resources.
To do so, you need what?
To verify change before merge. Because ONAP is
consumer
of the test cases provided by OpenAV. So in OpenAV, the test framework needs to be stable in Kubernetes, for OpenStack, or different version of OpenStack. So it's not only about ONAP and the CI/CD for ONAP, it's also the CI/CD for the test tools.
Mm-hmm.
And Functest implements the OpenStack process. So it means that our change and the reviews can are merged only if the functional gates is okay. So to implement the functional gates, we need to. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I agree on that. We want to reach that stage, just right now the ONAP testing takes too long to do the verification job before merge. It takes at least 2 hours before you install it and run the whole test. It takes another, maybe 1 hour, 2 hours. Yeah. So you cannot wait the last 4 hours before merge the changes, especially at the end of the release. So that's why we cannot. That's and the start, ideal world.
With our 2 hour install problem.
Yeah. And regarding the resource, so you asked, right now Wind River, help us on about 200, more than 200 users to do this testing. And the other day, in another session, people did a poll, say how many people did end-to-end ONAP installation, create a service up to the instantiation. Only 10% of people raised their hand. So if, even we have such a good resource, it's not fully utilized, or it's some kind of difficulty for people to fully utilize the resource.
Guess why they didn't?
They didn't ask why, but I think one of the reasons the ONAP is hard to use from end user point of view, I guess that's a reason. But another is, we don't have enough resources to support people. If they have a problem, they probably end up with their own or send emails to ask help. We don't have the resource to support all of them if some people have running a problem. We have such an infrastructure, right? We have a Zoom, we have a WeChat, a chat group. So we should be able to help people much easier, to be honest.
But also the management is always critical. I mean, there's a Pharos project in OpenAV, which is very difficult to be sure that all the resources you have are really allocated, because there are some projects that are just stopping, and then you have resources that are not free properly. So it's always very hard to know precisely the status of resources and if they are used properly.
Yeah.
So that's very challenging. As I mentioned, that's why we decided to do also the change to have only one team on one at the moment. There are team in OpenAV, there are people, so because you are the guy from Wind River providing the infrastructure on ONAP, but a different team. So it's also very difficult to know if, because SECA want to buy more hardware, But if you do not rack it and if you do not use it properly, you can buy tons of hardware and it would not solve your problem. So, and usually this kind of project, and so that's what is done in infrastructure teaming in Open AV, I think, that's also hard to find a contributor because the area you are working for something that is not a feature or project. So
I mean, one thing I think we briefly touched on during the session yesterday that you had right after lunch, and it just kind of popped me again because, you know, I think I just heard you saying that you might have some hardware resources and some lab manager people. Yeah, I mean, OPNFV has had the Ferris project, which, right, I mean, it has been difficult to manage sometimes and there's some treasury, but, you know, maybe it could be very useful to incorporate sort of, you know, we were just talking about extending the OPNFV, you know, OPNFV has sort of a spec of kind of expectations for deploying like OPNFV installs in Ferris Labs. And we talked earlier this week about extending that for Edge. And maybe we need a sort of an ONAT spec and we, you know, extend the existing OPNFV Ferris program, you know, make sure that we have, you know, if there are specific expectations for what like an ONAT pod should look like, or, you know, and then, you know, sort of maybe reinvigorate that program to support not just the infra deployments, but MANO deployments as well, and extend that federated test lab program for the ONAP community as well. I mean, I think it would have the benefit of, you know, if you want, you know, if you want, say, an OpenStack deployment, you know, an OPNFV infra stack, and you could access that. If you just want to deploy the MANO stack, you could access that and, you know, extend the number of labs and kind of make that sort of a, you know, that it's been a very useful program. It's been a little dormant. I mean, it's still in use, but it hasn't gotten a lot of infusion of energy recently. And I think if we can use that, the Ferris project, to help solve some of your ONAP issues, I think that could be very, you know, very helpful. So I think that maybe that's something we need to take. Maybe if we could get that scheduled maybe in a Ferris meeting and get maybe some ONAP folks at that meeting and kind of start talking about what they need and start putting out calls to people to bring more labs to that program, because we haven't added any labs to that program in a while.
Well, one issue we have with that, it's like, part of the issue is, you know, updating the Ferro spec we have and saying, like, this is what a deployment looks like. The bigger issue I think we have is that we still are on static lab allocation.
Yeah.
We have this program, Lab as a Service, we'd love to see ONAP get more involved with, because it's an LFN.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, spending half of your resources.
Yeah.
but more involved you want. Infra people, right?
Infra, I mean, people. Right?
It's the people resource we need right now to get involved with the development and the resource management.
Because right now to install ONAP on Lab as a Service, it's still a manual process, which does require, I mean, yeah, there are things that need to get in place within your CI to like be able to not make it a manual process, but, you know, bringing some infra people to that and that project and also to like some of the more drudgery things like getting the dynamic allocation in Ferris, you know, working a little bit better, because we started that and it's kind of, you know, I think hasn't gotten a lot of attention recently, but if that could, you know, getting the dynamic lab resources in Ferro like working better so that ONAPs can consume it, you know, that might help get us, you know, some ONAP resources, which I think are slightly more plentiful than OPNFV resources right now, to get that so that ONAP can leverage that stuff, I think would be.
Well, the auto install stuff, I think, was what Morgan was describing is the most interesting thing there. If they've got if they've got workflows that are known to work.
Yep.
You know.
Then we can leverage those and
You know, the auto control of Ferro's resources, like that was something Trevor Cooper and I had started talking about like a couple of months ago or a couple of weeks ago or whatever, something. On like the dashboard, and he was going to start looking at kind of what it would take to hook, you know, another lab up.
So yeah, what we have right now is Lab as a Service, is that we have a dynamic way to manage hardware. And what we're looking to do right now in OPNFV is extend that beyond the current one lab we have. So any lab can come on and be part of this sort of overall lab as a service offering and be able to manage the resources and allocate them as needed, not and just say like, okay, here's your six servers, you know, have fun. But you can actually pull things in and out, and even do multi architecture compositions, having ARM and x86 machines combined.
Right, but I don't think it has to always go to that level too. Like,
no.
Even if you know, I as Pharos Lab A have my static pod and it's, you know, or two static pods and there's six servers each or whatever, but I want to have a better, easier way to spin users onto my VPN and remove users from the VPN and stuff, so it's basically somebody gets to book it and then gets taken away when they're done with it. You know, even that can be done from the portal.
Okay, so any other discussion? So the to-do is basically Morgan's part of the team and you're going to keep evolving.
Yeah. And then on the Pharos side, who's the current Pharos PTO? Is it still Trevor?
Educated me.
Or is it Jack? Julian from CTE.
Is bring he up to the page.
Back participating?
Not really.
Okay.
No. We have been talking with Morgan.
Pharos hasn't even really had their own meetings in like a long while.
Our PTL disappeared during the situation. We haven't done that. That should probably be brought up at the TFC, I think. VTE. Yeah, we need to reinvigorate Pharos because we both have some Wind River folks wanting to do an edge spec and we want to do an ONAP spec. So we need to. Is this a TSC level issue? Do you think we need to?
Yeah. We have a project about it.
Without a
ETL.
Yeah.
An important one for us to keep going.
Okay, good. This was useful for me. I can say, she told me we did this. No one was talking.
So, is that a Camtech connection? Let's organize a service provider hiking event in Lannion.
Yeah.
In spring, it's better. Yeah. For the oyster.
I was going to say,
stop coming to Paris in
winter. Il faut les huîtres et le cidre.
Oh, no.
That's
better also. Le muscadet, c'est vrai, Emma. Oui, c'est bon. C'est bon aussi.